And our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, it's page 109 in the New Testament. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Amen.
Do you ever think about the relationship between God and Jesus? Probably not that often. But I'll tell you something. The relationship between God and Jesus is something that theologians think about a lot. Jesus is God's son. So we say, so the Bible says, so Jesus himself says. But what does that even mean? How can a person be the child of a God? Honestly, I have no idea. I know, bummer, right? Sorry about that. I cannot unravel the mystery for us today. On a literal, metaphysical level, I have no idea what it means to say that Jesus is God's son. And then you add the idea that Jesus is also God, that Jesus is God's son, but also God, and that's tricky. And then you add the Holy Spirit, and things get even more confusing. But we're not going to try to unravel the Trinity this morning. Sorry if you're disappointed by that. I'm guessing you're probably not. Here's what I do want to say. Here's what I think we can all understand. Here's something that takes no metaphysical gymnastics to comprehend. Jesus and God love each other, like a father loves a son, like a mother and daughter love each other, like a parent and child love each other. The love that exists between God and Jesus is as close and intimate and all-consuming and identity-forming as the love between a parent and a child. Jesus is who he is because of his love for God. Jesus is who he is because of his belovedness by God. Whatever else we might say about Jesus, about his divinity and humanity, about his identity as part of the Trinity, whatever theology we might try to say or try to believe about the nature of who Jesus is, we can say with confidence that Jesus was a person who had a unique and special relationship with God. Jesus was a person defined by his love of God, and that love between Jesus and God is like that of a love between parent and child. Have you ever known a family where the love in that family is just palpable? Have you ever known a couple where you can feel the love that they have for each other just kind of radiating off of them? And I don't mean young, passionate lovebirds who try to tell you every time they can how much in love they are. I'm talking about the couple or the family that don't have to broadcast their love with words all that often, but you can just feel it. Every time you're around them, you feel the love they have for one another. Even when they disagree or don't get along, they do so in a way that makes you think they love each other even more. Maybe you don't know a family like this. Maybe you've never met a couple like this. Maybe they don't even really exist. But you can imagine them, right? You can imagine a family where the love they have for each other permeates even the walls of their home. And you want to be a part of it. You want to be around it. Heck, if you could, you would move in. It just feels that good to be around a family or a couple like that, even if it's only in our imagination. I think this is something like what it was to be around Jesus. To be around someone whose loving relationship with God was so obvious, so true, so beautiful, that people just wanted to be around it. That the love between God and Jesus was so powerful that it literally caused miracles to happen around him. I think the special, unique, one-of-a-kind love that existed between God and Jesus was so powerful that it drew people to Jesus in crowds and changed them when they encountered him. I think that is part of the secret of what Jesus was up to on the earth. He was inviting us to take part in that love. As the Father loved me, Jesus said, so I love you. Abide in my love. I want us to think about that word, abide. It literally means to dwell, to be with, to live with, to commune with, to be in community with. It's like as if that loving family that we thought about earlier, if they were always inviting us to come spend the holidays with them. It's that family that opens their home to foster children so that the love they have for one another can be experienced by someone who needs it most. It's the married couple that invites the single person to spend some time with them so that they can see what a mature relationship looks like. It's the empty nesters that open up their home to other people's children, other people's grandchildren. I feel like this is becoming more and more of a less of a rare thing as decades go by. I don't mean to be all back in my day, but it really seems like people are less likely to spend time in each other's homes than ever before. I have been inside 3 of my neighbors' homes and only one of them more than once. I've only been in 2 or 3 of y'all's homes, and I don't think any of them more than once. I'm not judging. We're no different as a family. We probably have people over maybe 6 times in a year at the most. Abiding with one another, sharing life with one another, opening our lives to each other is kind of a lost art, it seems to me. I think that's something worth considering as we think about what we want to be as a church moving forward. What if being a church without a building means being a church that opens our homes to one another? There's definitely historical precedents for that. I wonder if that sounds attractive to anyone. I wonder if it sounds less attractive if we imagine it in our own home versus visiting someone else's. Anyway, it's something to consider. But here's the miracle of Jesus, the miracle of all miracles. Jesus invites us to abide in, to dwell in, this love between Jesus and God. The special love that exists between Jesus and God, the parent and child love that exists between Jesus and God, that love that is so real that it makes us want to say that they are somehow one and the same, without losing their distinctiveness. The love between Jesus and God that is so real that we had to create a new way of talking to even think about it. We are invited to abide in that love, to dwell in it, to live in it, to live our life in the midst of the loving unity that exists between God and Jesus. Like foster children welcomed into a loving home, regardless of how we acted in the past, we are invited to live our lives abiding in the love between between Jesus and God. Us, you and me, can live our lives dwelling in the love between God and Jesus. It's the most incredible invitation in the world. Not only are we invited, we are chosen, Jesus says. You and me, just as we are chosen to abide in this loving relationship with God and Jesus. Now, we've been talking for these last couple weeks about the ethics of love that are at the heart of Christianity, that everything we do and are called to do is love, love of one another, love of others, love of all of creation, that our faith is that simple, but also that demanding. How can we do it? How can we learn to love even the stranger, even the enemy? We do it by abiding in the love that is between Jesus and God. Like the foster child who, by finally living in a loving home, learns how to love themselves and others, we, by abiding in that perfect love between God and Jesus, learn to love God, ourselves, and others. That's what it means to keep Jesus' commandments. This invitation to abide in the love between Jesus and God is not just an invitation to crouch on the couch. It means being adopted into the family. But actually, we don't even enter into this relationship like a child enters into a family. That metaphor is off a bit, because miracle upon miracles, Jesus says we enter into this love between God and Jesus as peers, as friends, which is just mind-blowing. I do not call you servants any longer, Jesus says, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. We are invited into the love of God and Jesus as peers, as almost equals, as friends. Jesus has shared with us everything that God has shared with him. We are invited to be part of what they are doing in the world. And what are they doing in the world? They are opening up the love between Jesus and God to the whole world, to Jew and Gentile, man and woman, slave and free. All people everywhere are invited into the love that is between God and Jesus and all that comes with it, dignity and freedom, forgiveness and compassion and healing. We have a role to play in the coming kingdom of God. That circle continues to expand. We are invited into the love between God and Jesus, and we are taught to live in that love and learn from that love. And what do we learn by living in that love? We learn to invite others into it as well. We continue to ask ourselves, what is the church for? What is the church really supposed to be about? It's supposed to be about living in the love that exists between God and Jesus and inviting others to do the same. I think that's the whole thing, that everything else is rearranging the furniture, but the house is built on the love between God and Jesus. We are invited to abide in that house, to live in it, to learn to love as they love, and to welcome others to live there as well. Amen.